to Inside Education. My name is Sean Delaney and I'll be your host for the next 30 minutes or so. Podcasts of previous Inside Education programmes are available on the programme's website, which is www.insideed.com. We always like to hear your comments and suggestions by email to insideeducation@dublincityfm.ie. That email address again is insideeducation@dublincityfm.ie. You can also text us on 086 8962 665. Some Irish teachers have become widely known here in Ireland and internationally because of their writing. Novels by authors such as Roddy Doyle, Maeve Binchy and Owen Colfer are read all over the world. More recently, another young teacher, Deirdre Sullivan, has just published her first novel for young teens called Prim Improper. If you think that you can follow in the footsteps of these writers, you'll be interested in NaNoWriMo. NaNoWriMo stands for National Novel Writing Month, and November is NaNoWriMo Month. I wanted to find out more about this month, so I met up earlier today with one of the coordinators of the Dublin event. Muriel is her name. I began by asking Muriel to tell me what NaNoWriMo is.
NaNoWriMo is National Novel Writing Month. And the basic idea is that you try to write 50,000 words at least of a novel during November. It started in San Francisco in 1999 when 22 people thought that this would be an interesting experience. So they tried it and they had a ball. And the following year, there were just over 100. Since then, it's spread worldwide. Now, while they say it's national, it's now really international.
And what's the idea? Is the idea behind it just to get people writing?
Absolutely. It's like using a creative muscle. Just get it going. It's all about word count. You'll hear people saying, oh, well, don't put a hyphen in. Have two separate words. Because that's two words, not one. If you put a hyphen in, it's only one word. It's really, as I say, about creative muscle. Exercise it as you would anything else.
So if you're going to write a novel that's 50,000 words long, how do you break that up over the month of November?
If you're sensible, you aim to get at least 2,000 words a day done, because that covers you against glitches or whatever. You don't have to do a novel of 50,000 words. The first year I got started, I hit 54,000 words close to the end, but I was only halfway through my story. So I said, right, that's a nice, neat finishing point. Next year, I picked up and did the sequel and finished it. So breaking it up precisely... It is a good idea to try and get, they say, 1,700 words. That will do you fairly tight. I tend to say 2,000 is safer.
And it prepares you for days where you just don't feel like writing or you get writer's block?
Oh, whether you like it or not, you've got to get in and hammer the keyboard. Things may get in the way rather than not feel like it. If you hit writer's block, and a lot of people do, I tend to say leave that bit, go on and do something else. Now, some people are story-led, so they can't move on. I tend to have an idea of where my story is going. So if I'm stuck on one bit, I say, OK, I'll leave that and move on and come back to it.
Muriel, OK, supposing then you actually are successful doing this and you get down to it and you write every day for the month of November. At the end of the month, you have 50,000 words of a novel written. That's not really ready to be published at that stage, I presume.
Absolutely not. March is editing month. And the idea is you go and you pick it up again and you edit it. I've never done it like that. I have picked up some of my bits every now and again and edited them whenever I felt like it. I still haven't completed editing even the first one I did, because next time around I sort of get another idea and that I'm working on.
And do any of the people who take part in NaNoWriMo actually publish their books?
Oh yes, quite a considerable number. There's a shelf, the organisation in San Francisco still exists, and it's called the Office of Letters and Light. And they have a bookshelf, and they have it filled with books from NaNoWriMo that have been published. And that's just the ones that were sent to them. I'd say there are others that have been published that they never actually sent them.
Now, there's a website to support the NaNoWriMo month. What kind of resources are available on the website for people who are taking part?
Ranging from basic encouragement, because they'll give you elements every now and again, and what they call the procrastination station. In other words, when you don't feel actually like writing, you go in and you look at the cartoons or you have a chatter. There are wonderful fora. Each region has its own forum, and there are other sections for different reasons. When they're nano rebels, or different. I mean, the teenagers will set them. You can set up a forum on whatever you like.
And you mentioned they're teenagers, and that was one of the questions I wanted to ask you. What age are the people who take part in NaNoWriMo?
Strictly speaking, the main NaNoWriMo is 18 plus, and it's 18 to 1900 and frozen to death. There is a young writers program which is for 13 to 17 year olds, and that is meant to be run through schools, and there is support for the schools. An English teacher who wants to deal with it can simply send an email to the Office of Letters and Light, and they will send a pack with stars and charts and stickers and all the bells and whistles for that. Apart from that, though, I'm in the Dublin region, and the Dublin region last year had quite a number of teenagers involved. A couple of them used to come to our meetups. One of them was complaining vociferously that he was not allowed by his parents to meet anyone he met over the internet, and I responded, "Dead right. You don't take risks like that. On the other hand, if your parents want to come in and meet us, come to a meetup or meet us anywhere else, they're more than welcome. You know, this isn't an exclusive club."
How is NaNoWriMo funded?
In the main, nobody pays directly, but there aren't any fees and so on. People who participate may be donors. If you look on the website, you'll see some people have a halo beside their username, because you don't use your own name, you have a username, and they will be donors. They also have a shop where they sell t-shirts and mugs and caps and other paraphernalia, and people buy this, and that'll support it, and people make contributions generally, or companies make contributions, all of which in the States is tax deductible. We don't have that sort of a system, I think, really here. But any donation like that over there is tax deductible. But they have a number of people employed full time in San Francisco, not very many, but some. And they have to maintain the website and they have to run the whole operation. It also pays, for example, for laptop loans to some people who don't have a laptop. How we'd manage to get them here, I don't know. So it does take money. But there are hundreds of thousands of people, at least worldwide. So a small donation from everyone goes a very long way.
And have you managed to get a trip to San Francisco yourself from your work in all of this?
You've got to be kidding. Because I have to lead the meetings, or to be here as a centre force, I have a fluorescent yellow T-shirt. And I do mean fluorescent. Think of yellow marker. I'm in charge here. That's what I get. But it doesn't matter, because it's about doing it for fun.
And most people write their novels on laptops, as you were saying.
Well, laptop, PC. I've come across somebody doing it on an iPhone, that sort of thing. That, I think, would be really very difficult, but horses for courses.
But the idea of writing it out longhand is not really around anymore.
I know one person who is an extremely good person. He writes it in longhand first and then transcribes it. That's what works for him.
The target is to try and write, say, around 2,000 words a day. But who's keeping track of whether or not you do that in order to give you some kind of incentive?
All right. Theoretically, we're meant to hit 50,000. Worldwide, they say about 1 in 6 do actually achieve it. In Ireland, we got way over that last year. And in Dublin, we went through the roof. You keep a tally and you upload your numbers yourself initially. And then from around about the 24th of November, you can upload your script and the system will count your words. Now, it doesn't keep your words. Your words are yours. It just counts them and bins them. You don't have to show your novel to anyone unless you want to. Some people will put up an extract on their personal page. Everyone has a personal page. And some people will put an extract on their personal page. They can put a design for their book cover on the personal page. But you don't have to. To hit your 50,000 and have it validated, you do need to upload in that time scale between about the 24th and the 30th.
But there's no need to worry that somebody else could see your really important novel before you have a chance to publish it or even to edit it a bit.
No, absolutely not. Nobody sees it unless you show it to them.
Now, Muriel, you've mentioned that there are some resources or supports in Dublin for people who are involved and in Ireland. Can you say a little bit about what kind of supports are available at a local level here?
Well, the initial one would be the forum. Each region has its own forum. And the forum is already up and running and has been for the past about 6 weeks. And people are very involved with that. Through that, we also arrange, there'll be notifications going around to everyone who's registered in the Dublin region, telling them what we're doing. Normally, we meet up on Saturdays between 2 and 4. People don't have to come for the duration, and it's not a formal meeting. But people meet to chat and to socialise. If they're having a problem, they may say they're having a plot problem. They may talk it over, and sometimes they'll get ideas from other RIMOs. There is support from the Office of Letter and Light for schools. There are other supports like that. Some people also like to have what they call write-ins, where they'll just meet, sometimes after the meet-ups, and sit down in a circle and they hammer away at their keyboards for a couple of hours. It works for some people, it doesn't work for others.
And about how many people have signed up for this year's NaNoWriMo in Dublin?
I have no idea. I haven't got a count. I know theoretically last year there were about 450, but I mean, I think there were about 100 odd, say 150 active people.
And when you talk about the meetups, what exactly happens at a meetup?
Whatever anyone who attends wants. Well, within moral reason. People meet, they chat, they have a cup of coffee or a cup of tea, and they just have a chat.
So would you say I'm kind of, trying to decide to do something about a particular plot, or I'm trying to develop this character? Can you give me any ideas about the character? Would they be the kind of conversations you'd have?
Among others. I mean, there may be discussions of practically, I mean, cookery or gardening or whatever. But yes, if people are running into issues with their novel, or they want ideas, or they want to bounce things, or they want to set a challenge. And challenges also often work very well. One of the Dublin RIMOs last year, he had a dictionary of unusual words and defunct words. And he put one up every day, and gave a challenge to include this word in people's novels. Now, working around it can be hilarious, trying, okay, how on earth does that fit into my novel? But that kind of thing. And again, you find that you're doing 100 words on this, that's 100 more words for your word count.
And the people who show up for the meetups in Dublin, like, do they tend to be people who are unemployed or students or, you know, university students, or who exactly are they?
We always meet on a Saturday so that there isn't an issue about that. Some people complain that they work on Saturdays, especially some of the students. But no, it's everything from teenagers to retirees.
Okay. And it sounds like the kind of thing that schools might take on, particularly post-primary schools. Are there many schools involved?
I am not aware of any schools actually taking part in it in Ireland. And it's a crying shame, because I think it would be a fantastic transition year programme, just for the month. All of the students don't have to do it, just those who like writing. And there'll be a handful in most classes. There is a good support from OLL, the Office of Letters and Light, for them. They'll send things out to the schools. The other point is that if there are youngsters who are doing the Young Writers Programme, they don't have to do the 50,000. They agree their own target. Now, those who sign up to the adult programme do try and do the 50. But, well, apart from anything else, the only person you're competing against really is yourself. So if you do 5 or 50,000, it doesn't matter. It's just for fun.
Like somebody doing the marathon, most people are not doing it to win. They're doing it to do their own personal best.
Absolutely. It's all about participating. It's very social. It's a good bit of crack. And we have a TGIO party at the end of it.
Broadcasting on 103.2, this is Dublin City FM.
And if people want to find out more about what's happening in the Dublin area, Muriel, how can they go about it?
Well, there is a site which is www.nanowrimo.org. That's nanowrimo.org. If they go in there and they look at the regions, look for Europe, Ireland, Dublin. And they'll find our forum and they'll find information there. If they want to post in, they can do so. The other thing is that we do meet up on a Saturday afternoon usually in the library bar of the Central Hotel in Exchequer Street. And we meet there for a couple of hours from about 2 o'clock.
And when you mentioned that link to the forum there, you gave the impression that there could be other groups in Ireland outside of Dublin. Is that right?
Absolutely. We've got Dublin because we're the biggest single group, or we have been the biggest single group. There's also elsewhere in Leinster. There's Leinster, Munster, Connacht, Ulster, and what's loosely termed Ireland elsewhere.
They would be people who are Irish living outside Ireland?
Oh, no. We have people from abroad in the different forums, but people who just don't want to associate with one of the other links for whatever reason.
And how did you get involved yourself in NaNoWriMo, Muriel?
When I was a youngster, I used to do a lot of writing of all sorts. When the children came along, they kind of got in the way. And for over 30 years, I did no creative writing of any kind. I'd write for work or whatever, but I never did any creative writing. And somebody told me about it 5 years ago and said, you really should try it, if nothing else than to exercise the muscle. And I said, okay, I'll give it a try. And I sort of had an idea in the back of my head, and I, in the interim, thought about the idea. And then bailed in 2005, and I've been doing it ever since.
And you are a liaison officer now, or what exactly is your role?
It's called a municipal liaison. Why on earth? I have no idea. I'm really the interface between the head office and the people. We're meant to moderate the fora a bit. We're the contact. We can send out emails. We make sure nobody slaughters anyone else, and nobody steals anyone else's novel, whatever.
And because you're involved at that level, does that make it more difficult for you to achieve your target of 2,000 words every day?
Ah, I retired last year, so it is a little bit easier for me in that context. But really, the administration is quite small. We're dealing with adults in the main, and most people will get on with their writing on their own. The time scale wouldn't be very substantial.
And when do you do your own writing? I've heard stories about Maeve Binchy getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning, or maybe even earlier, to do her writing. When do you do yours, Muriel?
She's obviously a morning person, and that would not be my scene. When I was working, I used to start work at 8 in the morning, finish at about 4:30 or 5, go home, cook dinner, eat dinner, and then sit down and put in about 2 hours. Now, I'm not sure when. I will do it whenever I feel like it, really. But I would try to put in a good 2 hours each day from the time I'd start, and I'd look, and I'd take probably a 10-minute break halfway through. But it depends very much on the mood.
So you're writing about 1,000 words an hour?
Thereabouts.
And do you have a particular location that you use for writing?
Dining table.
And where do you find inspiration for plots or for characters and for writing in general?
The first year I had an idea, and the basic idea was that it's very difficult to prove a negative. It's also very difficult to have an alibi anything more than a couple of days later. So if you're accused of a crime, how do you prove you didn't do it? So my main character was accused of a crime he didn't commit, and in fact was convicted of it, and then how he came to be vindicated. That was my first one. So my different characters and so on. The second half of that. I'd had an idea about a child in medieval Ireland, and I did that one. And then I had one based around a dole office, or an office of social welfare, and who came in and out, and the people dealing with them. This year, a character kind of snuck into my head. Now, just the character, back around about Easter, and one scene snuck into my head. And that's what I'm going to do this year.
So is it cheating to have the character already in mind before the month of November?
I would certainly think not, because, I mean, to go in cold and have no ideas whatsoever, I don't think that would really be viable. I know one or two people are saying, no, I'm not thinking about it at all. But I think you need to really give some thought to it. You can't write it, but you could be mulling over in your head what you want to do. And I think most people would do that. They'd have an idea of where they wanted to go, or at least a starting point. Mark, you, last year, I had my starting point, and I'd written about 5,000 words, and I realised that I actually had to go back and go in front of that and do a lead-up. So that happened. But I mean, initially I had my starting point, but then it wasn't my starting point.
Have you had any of your writing published yet, Muriel?
For Nanon or Imo, no, I haven't. I haven't really done any enough of the cleanup on it. I keep saying, "Oh yes, now I'll do it now. I'll do it now. I'll do it now," and get distracted. They're all sitting on discs.
And is that a risk that you? I mean, because it, like for most people, to actually produce 50,000 words would be a fantastic achievement. And still, surely is that not the hardest part of the novel written at this stage, or is the editing more difficult?
Oh, I would tend to think the editing is harder. Because apart from anything else, you have to kill your children. You need to take out bits that you really liked because they're not contributing enough. I also noticed when I was going through some of my previous stuff that I was going with an awful lot of narrative, but I wasn't telling the reader about the people, what they looked like, what they sounded like. I wasn't giving descriptions of the place. And sometimes these are very important.
But this is all self-editing. Do you have anybody else who will actually read your work and give you feedback on it?
Well, I have a lot of people if they got a hold of it. But I will say the first year around, a couple of people came in and said, what are you doing? What are you doing? And I'd give them two pages. And then there was a scrap. Said, okay, where's the next page? They didn't get it though.
Is that because you don't want... Is it you didn't want to show it or you don't want people to take your ideas?
Oh, I didn't want to show it at that stage. I wasn't ready for that. I mean, you do this for your own benefit rather than anyone else. If you get around to publishing, that's a whole different issue. Nano of itself is really just for the writers. Just for the crack of doing it, for exercising, for getting into practice, for having the discipline to actually do it.
But do some people take it a little bit more seriously than that, and they're kind of saying, okay, yes, it is for doing it, but I do want to take it to the next step, and I'm determined to take it to the next step.
Oh, and a lot of people do, and there was one of our teenagers, actually she was only 12 last year, and she had done, I'm not sure if she got it the whole way to her 50, but if she didn't, she got darn close. But I know I got an email from her in January saying that a short story that she had thought about while she was doing Nano, she had produced in December, and it was published in a compendium in January.
So there have been some publication successes in Ireland from the NaNoWriMo.
Well, I'd say, it's been going for so long, I would say that there probably have been a few. I don't necessarily know about them. I've only been involved. This is only my second year as an ML. I'd say there would be quite a number. I can think of another of our authors who had other material published as well on an ongoing basis. But, I mean, he's a professional writer anyway. He just does Nano for fun, and he likes meeting our bunch. You were actually saying, are there people from outside of Ireland? The Dublin region is for people who are in Dublin, from Dublin, or want to be. So we have people from Dublin who are abroad. There's one of our RIMOs who spent several years in Iraq, and he was writing from there. He's in the States at present, and he'll be back in this year, I know. We had a Danish person, we had a couple of German, we had a Frenchman, we had a couple of Americans in Ireland for whatever reason. And they just come along, they join in. Now, some of them were RIMOs before, or they've heard about it, and they said that's a good idea.
And you mentioned the month of March then. So when people kind of have, eventually they've gone through the energy of November, and by the time they kind of come up for air, it's March. What exactly, how formal is the editing month in March? Or is that a bit more arbitrary?
I'm not totally sure, because I don't do it that way. And there isn't just the editing in March. There's actually what's called script frenzy, which is in July. And the idea is to write a film script. And there are other events in the course of the year. You drop in and out and do what you want, and you do it at the level you want. This is for the RIMO's benefit, not for the organisation's benefit.
And finally, Muriel, what advice would you give to somebody who's listening to us now and who kind of thinks, yeah, that's something I might be interested in sometime? What would you say to them?
First of all, just do it. Secondly, it really makes the best sense to do it every day. Write something every day, because otherwise you will begin to slide down, and you'll defer and you'll procrastinate, and then you'll get depressed and you just won't do it, and that is a downside for you. If you can write something every day, I know some people who write sort of 500 a day Monday to Friday, and then Saturday and Sunday they'll have a splurge. But it's so much a matter of what works for the individual.
And you have a family member taking part as well, is that right?
That's right. One of my grandchildren is actually doing it this year. He's 13. And I have a grandchild who's 7 in Australia. And I would put money that by the time he hits 13, he'll be doing it. He already does quite an amount of writing. So I'd say he will be custom built for it.
So grandmother Muriel and her grandson show that it is never too early or too late to begin writing your novel. I hope to check in with some of the Dublin writers before the end of November. That's it for this week's Inside Education. If you like this week's programme, you might be interested in some of our past programmes. They're all available on our website, www.insideed.com. Until the same time next week, this is Sean Delaney signing off. Thank you for listening.